In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And what episode number is it?
18, I think.
Dude, have you not realized you're the only one keeping track lately?
I think it's 18.
Okay, I think you're right. I was just in a car with a listener who confused things. Speaking of which, got to give a shout out to Lisa, you know which one, for giving me a ride home so that the podcast could be recorded on time. Because if I'd taken the bus, it would have been later. Because I have no car, because my wife stole it. But it's good now.
Really? It got fixed?
Many, many things are fixed. And it is much nicer now and safer and cost us a lot of money, but we like it. And yeah, now she's gone. She's leaving it at the airport and driving with her sister out to Virginia. And then in a couple days, I fly out to Virginia. And then we all party in Virginia like it's 1999 for a week. And then I fly back to the place where she left the car. And then I will drive it back here. And then a week after that, she will come back and I will pick her up.
Whereabouts in Virginia is this again?
Virginia Beach, technically Sandbridge.
Okay.
It's an old family tradition with my wife's family where they rent a beach house every year for a couple weeks. And we go out there. And Trish has the vacation time that she can take 2 full weeks, and she drives out with her sister and her sister's kids. And so that's all fun. But I can only go for 1 week, and I'm just going to fly out. So, what this means, people, is approximately 2.5 seconds after we finish this episode, we are going to record another episode, and then that is what you will hear next Thursday, because I will be in Virginia swimming and sleeping and eating food and screw all y'all. And then the week after that, I'll be back and we'll record a real episode, but my wife won't be back, which will have no impact on the podcast whatsoever. And then the week after that, everything will be normal.
Except that you may be eating pizza again when I come.
I might be. 2 weeks from now. I was really hoping that the pizza guy would take longer and show up during the recording. Because I thought that would be fun. Because I don't think in the history of the world anybody's ever recorded the receipt of a pizza delivery.
Not spontaneously, anyway.
No. So, how's every little thing?
Good.
Good.
You know, you changed your question from how was your week to what did you do, because you don't care.
What the crap did you do this week?
Now I'm thinking that you should probably refine it even further, because what you really want to know is, did I read any good books or see any good TV shows or watch any good movies? It's really about media. At the end. And maybe even played
I don't know about that. If you had any really good sex, I'm okay with hearing about that.
But you know I wouldn't talk about that if that happened. So
don't mean I won't ask. Did you kill any animals? Did you eat any chicken?
No, and I'm sure you'd be interested if anything developed with, you know, my books or music or anything like that. But I would probably just volunteer that information. The only thing we ever really have to talk about that goes on the previous week that we feel comfortable talking about, because we could talk about our families, but, you know, we probably think maybe they don't want us talking about them on the air. So what else is there really for us to talk about except we saw this movie, or we watched this book, or we played this game, or we saw this TV show.
Wow, way to make us seem shallow.
Well, again, remember, it's not so much that we don't have other things to talk about. It's just we are going to probably choose not to talk about them. Like, you might have had some interesting event happen between you and your wife, but you're not going to talk about that because maybe she doesn't want you talking about it.
Wait, let me think.
No.
Not really.
The only thing
you are right though, because I did have. There is one thing that's interesting involving my relatives that I'm not going to talk about because it's one of those things that I should ask permission first, and I didn't do that.
Well, this is what I mean. About the only thing that we're going to feel comfortable talking about that either we think is interesting enough or polite enough to the people we know, and especially to the people who we think are listening, are video games, movies, and books. Isn't that right? More or less?
Now I'm depressed. Way to go. Okay, well, did you consume any interesting media, William?
That's exactly the question I was going to suggest you ask, and you asked it.
And?
No.
I hate you.
Well, actually, we did see Super 8 last night.
Oh.
Yeah.
And?
And?
And you didn't consume any interesting media this week, so I'm guessing that says what you think about it.
Pretty much says it all, right there.
It's a movie about a motel chain can't be that exciting.
Well, you know, the film, part of the film involves these kids making a movie. And it's back in the 80s, I think. It has to be, right? Because they make reference to Rubik's Cube, so that would have been, what, 84?
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, it's in the 80s. And I think I saw some Star Wars stuff in the guy's room that suggested Empire Strikes Back, and I think that was 83. So it was somewhere in the 80s that this film is set, and they're making a film, and then Super 8 comes from, of course, that's what you called the film that most people used in their personal cameras. And near the beginning of the film, the kid who's in charge of making the film, he's the one shooting
it. We call him the executive producer.
Well, he's kind of the director, and he wrote the script, and you know the other kids are either acting in it or providing special effects or makeup or whatever.
Craft services.
Yeah. He's telling one of the other kids working on the film that he's added a character to the film, a female character, because it's a zombie movie, and he doesn't think the story's very compelling, but he's going to add this female character who's married to the investigator, because then the life and the danger, you know, involved with the investigator becomes higher stakes because he's got this woman who loves him at home who doesn't want him to get hurt or whatever. So he's created this character to make better story, and this other kid is confused. Like, what? There's plenty of story. There's zombies. They're shooting zombies. They're killing zombies. What more story do you need? And he loans him this magazine that has an article in it that he read about, you know, making a good story for a movie. And as I was watching it, and as I watched the rest of the film, I realized this is probably J.J. Abrams telling his story about how he learned how to make movies. He read a magazine article once.
Nice. That
gave lame advice on how to tell a story, and there it is. But by the end of the movie, I changed my mind because I would have to conclude that he didn't learn anything even from that article. So,
ouch. Wow.
He wrote it and directed it. And it just...
And it was not so much good?
Well, it wasn't so much bad. It was just... It was predictable. It was... things happened that didn't seem to make any sense. I mean, not in a plot hole way. Just in a... Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Why would you do that kind of way?
Well, like... I'll give you an example. There's a lot of destruction. And I won't give too much away for those who want to...
Careful! Semi-spoiler alert!
But there's a lot of destruction early in the film. And this destruction happens in a manner that makes it very unlikely that a car that was very close to the destruction would not be destroyed itself, and yet it somehow miraculously is not. And I mean, they use it for a purpose
to drive, presumably.
To drive, yes. But when you see this happen, you're thinking to yourself, "There's wreckage all around it." You're not even sure how it's going to leave the scene, and yet it somehow does. And that's just one example of some of the problems that the film has. And like I say, they're not like huge plot holes. They're just, as you're watching, you're just thinking, that doesn't make any sense. And a lot of, you know, the characters are very two-dimensionally drawn, and a lot of the relationships are pretty shallow in terms of development, story development. It's just, and it's not a bad movie, but you know, when I go to a theater and I pay a lot of money to watch a movie, I am interested in seeing a story that's put together better than something that, say, I could do myself. And it really wasn't.
But do they get off the island at the end?
Well, it. No, I won't say that. Never mind. maybe some people liked it. It's a very nostalgic piece in a lot of ways. If you grew up at that time, which I did, you see things you recognize and things happen that remind you of that time in America or whatever. It takes place in Ohio, and I'm guessing it's supposed to take place in southeastern Ohio because everything was actually shot in West Virginia, and you can tell. And I have relatives from there. The nostalgia just wasn't enough really to carry it, and it was pretty disappointing. But other than that, I didn't really consume any other interesting media this week. But you probably did, because you always do.
Not a lot. It's been busy. I had a really good LARP session this last Saturday. It went pretty good.
Did you start that new one that you were going to do that you wanted me to be part of? And I could
That's not a LARP.
I know, but I'm That's asking.
Just, no. That's going to start in a few weeks.
Okay.
I still need to get ready, and I'm going on vacation, so it's not.
Oh, you know, okay, right.
But it will start. But no, I for those who don't know, I think this has come up. I am in a vampire LARP, live action role playing game, and before you say it, yes, I agree with you all. LARPing is really not something that should be done after college. That's the time for LARPing, and then it needs to stop. And I agree with you. And this is why I didn't do it. And then I was working with somebody who mentioned that her husband runs a LARP, and I was like, "Oh, how nice! Okay, let's talk about something else." And she said, "It's a vampire LARP." She said, "But here's the thing: it's very small LARP. It's only once a month. Not a lot of people. It's all Giovanni, and they play it." On the altar level of the Masonic Temple. And I said what most everybody says when they hear that description, assuming they know what all those things mean. I said, okay, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And so I do it. And so I still think LARPing is not something you should do past college, except this LARP. This LARP is awesome. If you live in Iowa City and are interested in really freaky, dark, disturbing, very mature level Giovanni only vampire LARP that takes place in Masonic Temple only once a month, contact me via the hat or whatever and let me know. I will try and hook you up. And Stu, I know I'm supposed to hook you up in it. I haven't got around to it yet. Sorry. But that's fun. We've gone through some changes recently on that. New people coming in, but like who are running it and stuff. But people seem really enthusiastic. I'm kind of enthusiastic, so I think it's going to be fun. I mean, it has been fun up to this point, but I think it's going to even be cooler.
So, from what I can recall you telling me about this, you were a character who was being sort of, who's part of the family.
Yes, yes. The Giovanni is a clan that is also a family. Although, actually, as the centuries have gone on, it's sort of several families, but
right.
They're all thought of as one big family.
And you had just been made aware that the family, other than the aspects of the family you already knew, they also had this vampire.
By the way, vampires.
Yeah.
Yes. The way you enter into this game generally is you start playing a mortal of the family that comes to this city for some reason. I chose to play one that was completely uninvolved in this kind of shit. Like, a lot of times you play one and you've been raised knowing this kind of stuff was happening.
I see. Okay.
I chose to do one where my parents were sort of outside, had sort of lost favor with the family, and so I grew up not knowing this stuff, and then I found out and showed up here. But, yeah.
Hmm. So how long have you been doing this again?
Last July was the first time, I believe. So about a year.
And your character is what? I mean,
really messed up at this point. Well, he was really messed up to start with, but now
he's a vampire now.
He is currently a ghoul,
which is like a low level vampire or something.
No, in because this is all White Wolf based stuff. In their game terms, a ghoul is a normal human who has drunk some vampire blood, and it makes them a little bit stronger, a little bit healthier, gives them some weird freaky powers, and all this, and basically they age almost not at all at that point. But it only works if you keep up getting blood. If you stop getting blood, you'll stop being a ghoul, and if you've been doing it for a long time, your age will suddenly catch up with you. But other than that, you're still a normal person. You can go out in the sun, and you still eat and crap and have babies and things like that.
And vampire blood you have to have, you mean?
Yes, vampire blood specifically.
Huh. Interesting.
Just a little bit a month will be enough to get you through, but...
But, so is your character moving toward the full vampire thing? Or?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a long ways before anybody would grant him that distinction.
I see. It's kind of a big deal, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's think of it as a big promotion, as it were. And nobody knows if I'm ready to go to upper management.
I see.
And I may never, you know. And I don't know if my character is into that yet. He's not ambitious in that sense. He's got a lot of stuff going on. And he's going through some sort of major personality shifts recently, now that he's gotten into some weird necromancy and shit like that.
Sounds pretty complicated, really.
It can be. It's less complicated than most vampire games.
Well, how many people are doing it?
Our regular group is probably maybe 15, I want to say.
Wow, really?
Yeah, which is very small for a LARP. Very small for a LARP. LARPs are big.
I didn't know that.
LARPs tend to be very big.
Huh.
It's a pretty small LARP. Yeah, no, those tend to be huge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you say so.
Well, it is to me. I don't.
Because you're a nerd.
I guess I am.
It's fun. You should go. You would tell. No, you should not go. You should definitely not go. That would not work out well.
You don't think so, huh?
I do not think so. I do not think you would do well in the Giovanni family.
Why not?
Because I think you would have trouble playing somebody that evil.
They have to be evil?
Well, in the Giovanni family, if you didn't have certain moral absences, you'd probably be wiped out pretty quick. It doesn't. The whole nature of the family is basically a combination of necromancy and organized crime. I mean, there are some people who technically in the family don't ever break any laws and technically don't ever kill anyone, but they're not that common, and meanwhile, you'd have to be totally cool hanging out with lots of people who do. So, it would get awkward.
Yeah, but don't organized crime people have, like, they always have some person who's, like, their lawyer or their, you know, the guy played by Robert Duvall in the Godfather movies.
Yeah, see, it doesn't quite work that way here. And if you did have somebody like that, they wouldn't be a family member, and that's sort of how this game works.
Well, and Robert Duvall's character wasn't a family member technically either.
So you pretty much wouldn't be invited to the very functions that the LARP encompasses. So
I see.
That would be awkward.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to imagine playing someone who's bad.
Well, you only in recent years have gotten through the concept of playing in a role-playing game at all, so...
That's true.
I think that might be a big jump for you.
Just to do that?
Yeah, I think you might want to start by playing a nice tabletop game where you play a character that's an awful lot like you and, you know...
I'd like to do that, but...
simple.
But I just can't.
Because you got freaking kids and novels and...
Obligations.
Sleep.
Of various kinds.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's why the children of the world hate you. If you break that flash drive before you get it home, I'm going to be mad.
I know, sorry.
I won't be mad if you break it, just if you break it before you have a chance to download the stuff. For those of you who can't see, which is everybody, William is messing around with a flash drive that's of a certain mechanical type that it's really fun to just, like, screw around with. It invites fidgeting. But the flash drive, I'm finally giving him some episodes of QI that he needs to watch because it's awesome.
But I'm not going to take any of the stump killer that you still have on
your phone. No. My wife got that. I don't know why. But we just learned today that apparently I can't have... She can't put supplemental life insurance on me when I'm working at the same place. So I'm worth a lot less money dead than I used to be. So maybe that's why she hasn't used it.
Yeah.
She's always calling me her little stump. I always found that really insulting. Now I just find it insulting and scary.
Yep. Stump and vine killer, though. I mean, maybe she was wanting to get rid of some vines.
Those big Iowa vines?
Yeah. They can be nuisances. Yeah, and get into things.
Like stumps?
Like stumps, yeah.
This stump is infested with vines. What are we going to do?
Well,
I have good news and bad news. I can kill the vines, but Stump's also gonna die. So,
funny.
Okay, let's hat it up.
Okay. Is that a drum roll?
That's our hat music.
Oh, no. This is from Sir Guido.
Oh, Sir Guido! He missed a couple episodes, but now he's back in the game.
He says he wants a cool name like Blue Claw. Yeah, but the thing is, Sir Guido doesn't sound like a name you adopt for yourself in art school.
I'm like, Mr. Random Italian stereotype. You know, sir, yeah, it's... Your new nickname is Blue Claw Wannabe. How's that? Or you could pretend to be Azure Talon's mom and call yourself Red Tooth, otherwise known as Crimson Fang.
Well, I mean, Sir Guido, I mean, that's a...
I don't know what. Supposedly there's a story behind it, because it's not Sir Guido, which is how it looks.
Yeah, it does look like that.
It is, I learned, because he Skyped in on Happy Jacks one time. It is pronounced Sir Guido, but we don't know the history. It really sounds like a failed Star Wars character name.
It does, kind of.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help us out as far as coming up with suggestions for the name.
Your new nickname will be Hazel. Or possibly Maud.
Maybe Lady Guido.
Yes, your new nickname will be... That's weird. You're weird.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
Okay, here's the thing. You pick a color. And then you pick a body part. And basically you're done.
Yeah.
This is Azure Talon brand nicknaming here. This is the way you come up with names if you were raised in a wolf barn. We're going to make a website that'll randomly create these for you.
But we have to have two kinds. We have to have the kind that give, like...
Yeah, the fancy ones.
The fancy ones, and then the not-so-fancy.
Years ago, and this is a story of a story, because I wasn't there, but I played in an RPG that one of the earlier players and characters that I was not around for had named himself Indigo Muerte, which sounds really cool, and then you're like, isn't that just Spanish for blue death? What does the hell does blue death mean? He's like, nothing, but it sounds cool. Indigo Muerte. So,
well, you know, given those rules, we could just make something up for Sir Guido. Like, we could. I suggest...
Green penis!
That wasn't what I was going to suggest.
I know, that's why I said it.
Green, we can go with green. I was thinking maybe toe or...
Green toe?
Earlobe.
How do you do a cooler version?
Yeah, that's the...
Viridian...
Viridian...
Wait, we do green eye, and then it could be Viridian oculus.
Viridian phalange.
Viridian phalange. Green toe, otherwise known as Viridian phalange. I like it. We'll go with that. Leave your penis out of this. Green toe. Viridian phalange.
I think I got some of your stump killer on my hand.
Why, are the stumps on your hand dying off?
Is it leaking? No, it's fine.
Okay. The stumps on your hand are fine.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have a stump if I just leave it there. That's my
Somebody get me a rim shot. Okay, Viridian phalange. Good question. There we go. Next. Here we go with the new question. I want another piece of pizza. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. This question pissed me off when I heard about it. Which is right now. I'm not even going to look. This is from What a Guy, but it doesn't matter, because this is actually my question. I posted a question on Happy Jack's forums, and What a Guy thought it would be hilarious to literally copy and paste the same question to the hat, so that I could answer it myself, even though I don't have an answer, because that's why I asked it. And what this comes down to, okay, a long time ago, I was coming up with some psychic powers for a thing I was writing, and I wanted a power, like, okay, common superhero psychic power, that kind of thing. There's telepathy, where you read other people's thoughts or speak to them in their head and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's empathy. Mm-hmm. Empathy, where you feel their emotions.
Yes.
Counselor Troy had it in Star Trek, you know, and you get a sense of what their emotional state is. What I want to know is, what do you call a power where what you do is you actually project an emotional state onto someone.
But you can't feel their emotions, or
no. That would be a whole separate thing. No.
Okay.
But I'm just like, I want to make you sad. And other than finding your beloved pet and killing it, like, just in my head, I can make you feel sad or angry or whatever. What do you call that power?
I don't know.
Me neither. That's why I asked.
I know there are characters who have empathic abilities that can do both of those
things. Yeah, yeah, and they just usually call them empaths.
Yeah. But for someone who specifically what they do is they get you to feel certain things just by their mental power, but they don't necessarily feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, Bobby McFerrin had this power.
What? Who?
Bobby McFerrin.
What do you mean?
Who's Bobby McFerrin?
Well, he's a musician, isn't he?
Yes. What is Bobby McFerrin most famous for?
Well, he's most famous for his a cappella albums, where he does all of the sounds for the instruments and everything else.
Yeah, what specifically? What is the average person on the street? Most people either don't know Bobby McFerrin or know him for one and only one thing.
One piece of music, you mean?
Yes, it is in fact a piece of music. You're purposely being obtuse here. You know. What is he famous for?
Don't worry, be happy.
Exactly. He's using his power. Don't worry, be happy. And
well, he's attempting to use that power.
I worked on me. I was happy.
Were you?
I did not worry.
Yes, but you weren't in his presence. You were just listening to his music.
He's that good.
I see.
He can record his power and it still happens.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a name for it, but I don't know what it is.
Somebody on Happy Jacks, I don't remember now because it's been a while. It's been a long while. Came up with something based on actual word roots.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool. I don't remember what it was now. I keep wanting to say theromancy, but theromancy is the term that the fairies in the Dresden Files books use to describe human technology. And I haven't looked the word root on that, but they refer to it as a peculiar type of theromancy. So that's not what it was, but it's something I think with a TH in the front.
Interesting.
No, it's not, but... Yeah, so what a guy. Bad question. My question. Come up with your own question. No biscuit.
Well, but at least, you know, what a guy's listening, we hope.
By now, who knows if he still is. So many people like, I listened to the first episode.
This is an anonymous contributor.
All right.
With a question, I guess. I only ever see summer sausage for sale in the winter. What's that about? I suppose they mean like, you know, it's a Christmas item.
Yeah, because the gift baskets frequently have summer sausage.
Hickory Farms or whatever it is.
Hillshire Farms.
No, Hillshire
Farms. Go Meat!
That's whatever, there are these little kiosks set up in the mall.
You're right, that's Hickory Farms.
Once a year, Hickory Farms, you can get cheese and summer sausage and stuff, and then they're gone. And I presume they sell them all year round, but you're right, I don't see them, at least not here in Iowa.
So, you know the company Pepperidge Farm that makes the cookies?
Cookies, yeah.
You know, Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah.
You look at that word sometime. It's Pepperidge.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, I assume Pepperidge Farm was a farm at some point.
Okay.
That they didn't, possibly not, but I mean, they thought it sounded like one if it didn't. And presumably you get that name one of two ways. Either your farm is on or near something called Pepperidge.
Mm-hmm.
Or your family name is Pepperidge.
Mm-hmm.
But if your family name is Pepperidge, it means your ancestors lived on or near something called Pepperidge. What the hell is a Pepperidge? How does that look? What do you say? That ridge? That's a Pepperidge.
Well, it's probably more that people with the name Pepper lived on that ridge. And so it got to be called that.
So, like, I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, you're a pepper, we're all peppers.
What? Yeah, whatever.
This is our ridge.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. Like, so my ancestors...
The Pepper Ridge is the ridge where the pepper people live.
I have ancestors who are from Butcher's Valley in Tennessee. Because people by the name of Butcher live there.
Are you sure that wasn't because of a giant slaughter of Indians or something?
No, I'm pretty certain not.
Dude, Butcher's Valley. That's...
This is how these things happen.
That's where a terrible thing happened.
In the United States.
So
lots of places get named after the people who lived near them.
Okay, then how do you get the name Pepper?
Well, I don't know.
Because Butcher is, that's the profession. So the people named Pepper were always upping morale.
And yeah, they're spicing up people's lives.
Oh, God, I hate you. out of my house. Oh.
I don't know where the name Pepper comes from. It's a name. You've seen it around. Isn't there some actor with that last name?
Oh, Barry Pepper or whatever. Yeah, he was the human in Battlefield Earth.
Right. He was also...
Which is a terrible, terrible movie.
He was also in something else I saw recently.
Yeah, since then he's actually acted.
But he was in a lot of makeup and I was the only one who recognized him.
Yeah, Barry Pepper, or is a B Pepper? I think it's Barry. Maybe Brandon Pepper, but something B Pepper.
I can't remember the
role. He's a Pepper. Simon.
But he had a lot of makeup on, but I knew who it was. Let's see, who was it? What was it? I'm not going to remember. Oh, just that segment.
William half remembers something, tries to remember the rest, and then gives up.
It was a film I saw recently. I know that.
Okay, what was his question?
The person is saying they only ever see summer sausage for sale in the winter, and they want to know what that's about.
Do you think that's really true?
Well,
like, I never look, but I was, if you had just, like, come up and asked me, when do they sell summer sausage, I would have been like, all the time.
Well, I think you can find summer sausage all the time, say, in Amana, or in places that sell Amana stuff, which is just about everywhere around here, so.
You do remember, not all of our listeners are in the area.
Well, that's what, but that's
explain.
Kind of, but that's kind of my point. Well,
the some Amana's, people don't know what the Amana is.
Okay, well, the Amana's,
you're looking like Amana.
there's a collection of towns, like villages, I guess, called the Amana colonies over here that, in Iowa, where it's, I don't know, it's about a half hour's drive from here in Iowa City, going west. And, it was a settlement of German pietists, and they had a sort of a communal kind of thing going there for a long time, but that's no longer the case. But still, it's kind of a tourist attraction.
Trap.
No, it's not really a trap. There's some really cool things.
They make incredibly sweet fruit-related wines and sell a lot of sausage.
Yeah.
It's tasty.
There's a brewery there. They sell beer and...
Oh, is that where the Iowa or the
something Mills?
Yeah. I've been trying them out lately.
And
they make an IPA that's an Iowa Pale Ale. They call it. That's pretty tasty.
They make furniture over there too. They have a woolen mill. They have a lot of stuff over there. But
and they sell summer sausage.
Well, and there's an Amish community south of here too, and they have products that you can buy in the store. So,
oh, is this Pella? No, where's the Amish community south?
Kelowna.
Oh, I guess they're Amish, yes. I don't know. Kelowna's where all the nouveau riche go to buy big houses now.
I guess. But the point is, we have people around here that, I guess when I was closer to Des Moines, yeah, pretty much we only saw summer sausage being sold at these kiosks in the mall. We didn't really see it very much in the supermarket. Or maybe it was in the supermarket and we just didn't buy it then. I don't know. I don't remember. We didn't have summer sausage very often when I was growing up.
Your level of summer sausage knowledge is significantly higher than I expected.
Well, you know, we did have it in the house around Christmas time when
yeah.
I was growing up.
And it shows up at various family gatherings every once in a while.
I remember seeing commercials for it, though, too. You know, Hillshire Farms had commercials.
Go meat!
Had commercials for it on TV all the time.
Well, okay.
Summer sausage.
When we used to work together, it would show up at potlucks, not infrequently.
That's true.
Was it always wintertime potluck?
No. It was all year round.
So you think people were hoarding it?
I don't know. Maybe in Iowa in general, you can find summer sausage all the time. I don't know.
I think the answer here, Anonymous, is you can find summer sausage all year round, but sometimes you have to look for it. At Christmas, they shove it in your face. Like some sort of aggressive belief structure.
Well, I wonder if it's not a popular item in other parts of the country.
I'm not that into it. I mean, it's sausage, so I'll eat it, but it's one of my least favorite kinds of sausage.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. It has this weird sour taste that doesn't do it for me.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I'll eat it. It's sausage. I mean, I will eat it, but I would not.
Well, the only sausage...
I'd give me Braunschweiger over it any day.
Really?
Oh, I love Braunschweiger. Huh. I love liver as a whole.
I've never had it, but the only sausage we would ever have at home is beef, and you could get beef summer sausage, so that's
there
pretty much all we ever had, if we had it, and we pretty much only had it during the wintertime, but again, I'm pretty sure it was available the rest of the time, it's just, for whatever reason, we didn't have it.
Maybe Anonymous is a hillbilly also.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think being a hillbilly has anything to do with it.
Okay. I'm bored. Let's move on.
Yes.
Summer sausage can only hold my attention for so long. That's what she said.
Moving on to number four. That's a good day when we have four.
Holy crap. This is an anonymous one, and it's a freaking long anonymous one, which makes me think I know who it is. Anyway, when the apocalypse occurs on December 21st, 2012, will it be according to the Gregorian calendar or according to the Julian calendar?
And that's the a answer trick question.
Is none of those, because it's according to the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, that's right.
But, oh God, I love all those stuff about the Mayan ones. But
although the December 21st date is supposed to be what the Mayan calendar, you know, if you convert
which,
it.
So we're talking Gregorian.
We're talking the winter solstice is what we're really talking. Okay. So that's the 21st.
What I loved is
in 2012.
One of the earliest jokes, one of the jokes at the very opening of a Robot Chicken episode I watched one time had two Mayans and one was finishing carving out the round calendar. He's like, I've run out of room right here. The guy says, okay, just stop there. Man, that's going to freak somebody out in a couple thousand years. I was like, pretty much, that's exactly what the hell happened. Like, dude, the Rock ran out of space.
Well, it's more like, you know, you can, when you study the movement of the planets and everything, you notice that there are periods of time where, you know, this object is going to be in the same position, relative position, so many years later. And you can just keep doing that. And then, not only that for each individual object, but you can talk about how long it takes objects to synchronize again. Like, I think it's 11 years for the moon to synchronize to a particular, you know, to the same phase in the same part of the year or something like that. So when you're done doing that, you're going to end up with some periods of time that are really huge, but they don't mean anything. It's just, this is when everything synchronizes every so many.
So is that how we all got on the Mayan kick?
Yeah, because
I was like, why did we all suddenly decide that the Mayans knew? Like, everybody out there who invented a calendar had a date that we could have picked. Well, why did we decide, you know who really nails this apocalypse stuff? The civilization that achieved huge heights and then got wiped out before we were even over here. How about them?
Well, I think, for one thing, I'm not sure the Mayans really say anything's going to happen.
They just ran out of space.
Well, no. More like,
it's like in Outlook, when you set a reminder, and you set it, and you sometimes you're like, well, I better set this for 5 years repeating because we're going to have the same meeting every time. You hit some date. The Mayans were like, we need to make this calendar. How big would we make it? I don't know. 2012. Probably far enough out there.
It wasn't random. It's something about their observations actually had a cycle that long. And this is just happens to be when it ends.
Oh, and then they could just flip it over and start
again. Exactly.
I see.
That's right. So now you're done. And you can just, like you said, flip it over and start again. That's all there is to it, really. But a lot of people are thinking,
and
gosh,
this is why the civilization died out, because they sold one of these calendars to everybody. And then they
couldn't make money.
Exactly, exactly. They're like, buy another. They're like, why? This is going to be good for a couple thousand years, and then we'll just flip it over
we'll
and
just
go again.
Flip it over.
They're
exactly.
Like, damn, complete collapse.
That's exactly right.
Like, the Mayans were destroyed by their own ingenious calendar.
But the reason the Mayans more than anyone else is because, to our knowledge, they're one of the only groups of people that did that. So. So it's really the same kind of thing that went along with the millennium turning. It seems like a big deal because we have this way of marking, you know, between this point and this point, and now we're basically turning it over.
Yeah.
And that seems like something awful should happen or great should happen, one of the two.
I was a little bit kind of weirded out when we were getting to Y2K. Not specifically because of Y2K, but like, not that I believed that the apocalypse was, or the rapture, or any of that shit was going to happen, but just a little bit, because it's, you know, it's a big thing. 2000, huge, you know, big deal. And then I was in school at the time, in college, and at the time I learned that, basically, I studied the history and discovered that every time there's a century turnover, a surprisingly huge number of people lose their fucking minds. Like, there were large numbers of people who believed that when the year 1800 showed up, it was going to be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That seems really stupid to me. Because 1800 is 1800. And then I thought, is it really more stupid than 2000? And then after that, I wasn't really worried about it anymore.
Well, you know, rare events, it's sort of, you know, obviously, providing that our civilization is still around in 3000, you know, that's going to be a 1,000 years since it turned to 2000. That's, so it's kind of a big deal in that sense that it just doesn't happen that often, but people do tend to take things that are rare or unusual. And in this case, you have something based on a calendar that, you know, that's, it's not completely arbitrary. It's based on some astronomical observations. What? And it's a rare event that happens. And so people think, well, if it's rare, it must be auspicious or important or whatever.
Which is cool. But then why does the world destroy? Like, it's a rare thing. Okay, the last time it happened, did a planet get destroyed? Then why the hell do we think? Why? Like, I'm cool with, I mean,
so what you're saying is, why apocalypse?
This
why?
Is the time when Jesus comes back, you know, because that's a thing we came up with and we're like, it's auspicious. What's more auspicious than Jesus coming back? Not a lot. It's Jesus. So here we go. He must be coming back then. If he was going to show up, this is when he would show up. I understand that. And or like, you know, oh, it's a rare auspicious thing. Something cool happened. Huh. A fascinating new ice cream flavor, you know? Or
we can just have a party.
Yeah, big party. You know, we'll teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. A new era of peace and enlightenment. Awesome. When are you like, you know what'll happen then? It's so exciting. The world will just stop. It's so exciting.
Die.
It's so auspicious. People will be like, we will never get more auspicious than this. Let's just be done.
Stop while we're ahead.
Exactly. We're like, this is the peak of auspiciosity. I'm out. Where do you... How does that become the height of auspiciousness? I know the end of the world.
Well, you're right. There's yet another force acting here, which is some kind of a... Obviously, there's some underlying fear. Well, it probably is tied in with, in general, with a fear of the unknown.
I think it's an envy. I think it's an envy of the people who are going to come after you and all the cool shit they will see. So you're like, you know what? Not going to happen. I'm here at this auspicious moment, and then it's all gone. So future generations, suck it.
Well, no, I think it probably involves, you know, fear of change, fear of unknown. I mean, people, it's kind of a downward spiral. You've got this event that involves something changing that seems like a small thing, but it seems like a big thing at the same time, and it just plays on the psychology of those people who tend to not like change. But I don't know where that comes from either. I mean, I suppose there's the obvious answer is that, well, for most people for most of the history of humanity, you know, a big change means a storm comes through or a disease comes through, and it's not good, but there's also a lot of positive changes too. So
you never keep track of that. Was approximately 5 years after we achieved perfect democracy. You're always like, that was approximately 5 years after God wiped out our city.
Right. So is there a natural human tendency to accentuate the negative, or is that more something that we've developed in recent history for some reason? I would tend to think the latter, but you know, like you said, it seems a long-standing tradition of humanity to measure things by how long since this bad thing happened, rather than how long since this good thing happened.
Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens. I wish I could remember the whole thing. I'd go with that. But
I don't even know what that is.
Battlestar Galactica. Original Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, right.
The opening weird light show shit. And he's like, some believe crazy shit with aliens that look like Dirk Benedict flying through space and then becoming cavemen. Some believe that that didn't even happen, but they're doing it right now and they're going to show up in the 80s when the show is a success. Cue the music.
The music, that's interesting because the music of the original series. Yeah, it does make an appearance in.
Does it really?
A few times in.
It's good music.
In the miniseries, it was in there for just a second.
Was it?
Yeah. And then
in the corner, there's a hobo playing it on the kazoo.
No. It's the point in the they're doing the ceremony to retire the Galactica, and there's a flyover with some Vipers.
Oh.
And the music that plays to accompany the flyover is the old theme music.
But do the controls and the Vipers still have thrust, fire, and instant message? That's what I believe it said. It said fire, thrust, I am. And I think somebody explained that one to me one time, but to me it's just instant message. Like, hey Apollo, how you doing? Fine. Does your Viper smell like farts? Yeah, my Viper smells like farts. Jesus, they gotta air these things out.
No, I think I am probably stood for
smiley face.
Some kind of special ordinance, like, you know, that's how you fired your missiles or something.
They didn't have missiles. They just had fire.
Well,
and then little things that look like sunburst from Airwolf shot out, I believe. They did have thrusters that did shit, but that's thrust. So I am M. That's the important button. Important.
But that's, they just had room for the I and the M.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't write. Have you seen that? It is
a little small button.
We're answering a lot of shit tonight, and very little of it has to do with the actual questions we're being asked. Anyway, good question, Anonymous. We probably need to wrap it up. We need to get better about the blurb.
The blurb?
Yes. Telling people where they can experience more hat and where they can go to enrich their own hat experience and that of others.
Oh.
Because sometimes we just totally forget. So I'm going to say, today, you people, if you want more hat stuff, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com. That's where you see everybody's cool comments and things. Mark, who apparently has fallen behind, just recently posted commenting on everything that we ever said in episode 16. But it includes some recipes. It includes some other cool stuff. Check it out. It was big enough and had enough hypertext that when I got the email notification, I thought it was spam. And I thought, wow, it's spam about what we actually talked about. And then I'm like, wait, it's Mark. Never mind. So go there, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, go to Facebook. Look up The Magical Talking Hat. Like us on Facebook. We are up to 31 people. We need more. Also, most importantly, email the hat. The hat needs questions. The hat always needs questions. We need things to talk about. You get to decide what we talk about, except when we go off topic, which is all the time. But still, we need a jumping off point. So email the hat, whatever you want, topics, questions, things, do it. The email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Do it.
And we want to thank Sir Guido, what a guy, and our two anonymous
Anonymous and Anonymous.
for helping us out. And yes, please do send more because we always need new topics to talk about. And the content of this podcast is pretty much determined mostly by you.
And whatever interesting media we consume.
I guess. Because we just don't feel comfortable talking about anything else. Well, actually, Tony might feel really comfortable talking about lots of other things, but
other
I
people
feel
don't feel comfortable listening to anything else.
I wouldn't feel comfortable. I'd have to probably leave and let him finish and then come back. But we all know what happened last time I did that.
I don't know what you're talking about. happy thoughts. Was I going to put up the swamp ass PSA? I don't think I ever did that.
Yes, you did.
Did I put it up there?
You did put it up, yes.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so we have like no links for this episode.
Right now.
Okay, people, no links. But awesome commentary on there. People talk. It's fun. Do it. You should do it. Okay. And a little bit of a short one, but we're about to do another one. So please disregard the last 55 and a half minutes or so. I've been Tony.
And I have been William with Stump and Vine Killer on my hands.
I don't think you actually... But we will see you next week. Read 2.5 seconds from now. Don't step on the cat.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.